I've met thousands of people over my lifetime, like you have, but there's really only one person I ever met who completely changed my life. His name is Jesus Christ. He's what motivates us to do what we do, to start churches, for missionaries to go out, for any good, godly work to be done. He's the one who can change lives.
We may not realize it at the moment, but one thought, one word, one action, and one person can affect the world. Today on Connect with Skip Hytek, Skip shares how one man changed the world for the worse, and how understanding this bad news enables you to enjoy the good news. Before we begin, we want to tell you about a special resource that will help the kids in your life grow in God's Word.
The most recent State of the Bible survey revealed that only 9% of millennials read the Bible on a daily basis. The most skeptical generation on record is also uninformed about the Word of God. Small wonder there's such lifestyle confusion. What about your own children or your grandchildren? How can you pass on your faith to a younger generation so they don't become a statistic and skeptic? We want to help you encourage a young person in your life to get excited about God's Word and all He has for them. Soaring Through the Bible by Skip Hytek gives kids and tweens an overview of the entire Bible in an exciting travel guide format that includes fun illustrations and fascinating facts to keep them engaged. We'll send you your copy of this made-for-kids resource when you give a generous donation of $35 or more to help keep these Bible-based teachings on the air, connecting more people like you to God's Word. Call now to give, and then receive your copy of Soaring Through the Bible, 800-922-1888. Or give online securely at connectwithskip.com/offer.
Now, we're in Romans chapter 5 as we get into the message with Skip Hytek.
And we always say that, don't we, when we begin a service, turn in your Bibles too. And that's because we believe that God speaks through what God has already spoken. That in His Word, He tells us what He wants, who He is, who we are, where we fit into His plan. So we always look at what the Scriptures have to say. And we're in this series in the book of Romans called Heart and Soul. So we're in Romans chapter 5. And in a few moments, we're going to begin in verse 12. And we're going to finish out the chapter, the 10 verses that are left. Think of the accomplishments that one person is able to do. Think, for example, of Thomas Edison, who in his lifetime acquired 1,093 patents. 1,093 patents. Who innovated the first record player, the incandescent light bulb, and an early version of a motion picture camera. One person affecting a whole group of people. Or think of Albert Einstein, who developed quantum physics, the theory of relativity. Abraham Lincoln, who by his Emancipation Proclamation was able to free 3.5 million slaves and give them freedom. Think of women like Queen Esther, the right woman in the right place at the right time. By her boldness, she was able to save the Jewish race in Persia from genocide. Or Moses, who went up alone to Mount Sinai and heard from God the law to give to His people. These are names we're familiar with, but here's a name you're probably not familiar with. Dashrath Manji. Have you ever heard of Dashrath Manji? Have you had a conversation about him this week? Probably not. He was a man who lived in the hills of India, living a quiet life, tending his goats, loving his wife. But one day, his wife slid down a slope accidentally and was injured severely, had to be taken to a hospital. The nearest hospital was 45 miles away. They had no vehicle. It was a catastrophic event. After the ordeal was completed, Dashrath Manji sold his goats, bought a hammer and chisel. Get this. For the next 22 years, he dug a road through the mountain that is 30 feet high, 25 feet wide, 360 feet long to connect his village to the nearby town, reducing the drive rate from 45 miles to the hospital to 4 miles. It's what one guy did for 22 years. Impressive. Someone said, the individual activity of one man with a backbone will do more than 1,000 men with a mere wishbone. One person really can change their world. But just like one person can affect great good, likewise a person can affect great evil. Think of Adolf Hitler. 6 million Jews or more killed at his hand. Or the Cambodian leader of the Khmer Rouge in the 70s, Pol Pot. 2 million deaths because of him. Because of starvation, because of disease, because of execution. So one person can invent things and help people, but another person can destroy what they have invented. One person can light a match, cause a fire to burn, destroy homes, ruin lives. Another person can put out the fire, save homes, rescue lives. And that is the thrust of the passage we're about to read. In this passage, Paul the Apostle lays one man and what he did against another man and what he did. Adam and Christ. Now, you know that Peter said that Paul wrote many things that are hard to understand. And scholars, commentators, people who write books on what the Bible is about, most of them say that the section we're about to read is perhaps one of the most difficult passages that Paul ever wrote to understand. So I want to break it down and simplify this passage. And I want to give you some preliminaries. We haven't even started reading yet, but just some preliminaries. In the paragraph we're about to read, the word one appears 11 times. So you're going to get the thrust of what Paul is doing here. One appears 11 times. So we have one man, one sin, one trespass, one wrong choice, and that opened the door for corruption. But we have one man, one sacrifice, one right choice that opened the door to salvation. So both Adam and Christ performed a one-man show. They did something that affected the crowd, the group. So that word appears 11 times. There's another word, reign, not reign from heaven, R-A-I-N, but reign like a king reigns, R-E-I-G-N. Did I spell it right? Reign. So that word appears 5 times. And what Paul is doing is he acknowledges these two men, Adam and Christ, reigning over a kingdom. Adam reigning over the kingdom of death, Jesus reigning over the kingdom of life. Condemnation flows from the stream of Adam. Salvation, justification flows from the stream of Christ. So we have one, 11 times, reign, 5 times. And there's another phrase that is used 5 times in this paragraph. It's the two words, much more, much more. In other words, we have gained much more in Christ than we ever lost from Adam. That's the great thrust of this passage. So we're going to look at what one person can do. A leader put it this way, one smile can start a friendship, one word can end a fight, one look can save a relationship, and one person can change your life. I've met thousands of people over my lifetime like you have, but there's really only one person I ever met who completely changed my life. His name is Jesus Christ. He's what motivates us to do what we do, to start churches, for missionaries to go out, for any good, godly work to be done. He's the one who can change lives. So we have in this section, this 10-verse section, this 10-verse paragraph, 2 sections. It's divided into 2 parts. Verse 12 through 14 is the first part. Verse 15 through 21 is the second part. So in these 2 sections, I'm going to make 2 statements about 2 men, Adam and Christ, These two statements sum up their lives. One man's failure brought mankind's fall, and one man's fix bought mankind's favor. Let's begin with the first. Let's begin with Adam, verse 15 or verse 12 of chapter 5. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed or counted or reckoned when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Bottom line is this: Adam blew it for everyone. What Adam did affected every single person. You know, I've often thought of, you know, if I ever get a chance to meet Adam, I got some choice words for him. In fact, actually, I thought, you know, if I ever see him, I want to punch him out. You know, what he did and ruined it all for us. But then I started thinking about it and I realized I would have done the same. In fact, I did the same again and again and again, and so did you. The Bible says all have sinned and we've fallen short of the glory of God. And the truth is, if God would have tested every human being individually, the result would be the same. Now, Paul mentions Adam. He talks about Adam 7 times in all of his New Testament writings. And he spoke about Adam as though Adam were an actual historical figure, because Adam was an actual historical figure. But I want to underscore that. He refers to Adam and Eve. Jesus also spoke about Adam and Eve. He says, he calls them the man and the woman. He says, from the beginning, God created. So you've got Paul the Apostle and Jesus our Savior both referring to a literal Adam and a literal Eve, not as mythical figures, but as actual historical figures. However, you know this to be true. Whenever the name Adam is dropped in a conversation, it's a conversation stopper. I mean, try that next time you're at Starbucks. I wouldn't say try it at Sopo, but it won't work there. Try it out in the secular world. Stand in line at the grocery store and just have a conversation about Adam and Eve. They're going to give you a look like, what? I mean, you're kidding, right? You actually believe in a guy named Adam and a gal named Eve. Because if you believe in an Adam and Eve, it must mean you believe in a creation. And that's where you lose the modern audience. They give you that smirk, that look like, come on, I lost my faith in high school biology class. And that's because the prevailing belief of the last century is Darwinian evolution. At some point in the past, there was some big bang, some big explosion, and then a whole bunch of time went by, and finally, here we are. I've had a hard time going along with the naturalist notion that no one plus nothing equals everything. I have and hold a teleological viewpoint that says whenever I see something that looks like it's been designed, it's because it's been designed. It looks like there's got to be a designer behind it. There's an old axiom that says wherever there is a thing, there must have been a preceding thought. And wherever there is a thought, there must have been a thinker. So I understand that in modern culture, evolution is considered a done deal. It's considered a closed case. Everybody believes that this is science. Don't be an idiot to believe in creation or Adam and Eve. But what you need to know is that experts, scientific experts, they don't all agree on that. That is not the consensus. In fact, did you know that Charles Darwin, when he came up with the evolution of the species, his whole evolutionary theory, he knew that there was one glaring lack of evidence against his theory. called paleontology, the fossil record, did not substantiate what his theory was bearing out or what he was postulating in his theory. But he believed that given enough time, time would vindicate him. The fossil record would vindicate him. Here's the problem. A lot of time has gone by. The fossil record has not vindicated him. And molecular biologist Michael Denton said, evolutionary theory is still, as it was in Darwin's time, a highly speculative hypothesis entirely without direct factual support. End quote. I could give you quotes like that all day long from a group, from scientists and experts. But here's the deal. Let's say you and I go out to the parking lot and we're standing in front of your car and you're showing me your cool car and you're telling me how they designed it at the factory and they were thinking this next. Oh, no, 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 no. Here's what happened. Billions of years ago, there were sets of explosions. Rocks hit each other and there were gases and eventually over a long, 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 long period of time, metal formed and glass formed and rubber formed and oozing up out of that pavement was your car. You'd look at me and go, you're an idiot. And if I believed what I just said, I would be an idiot. Because what you're going to tell me is, no, that looks like it's been designed by somebody. Like a designer was behind that. And I would agree with that. So that aside, I'm bringing all this up because a literal Adam is crucial to Paul's argument. Because you see, if an historical Adam does not represent mankind in sinfulness, then an historical Jesus could never represent mankind in righteousness. One requires the other. One acted in such a way as to affect humankind. Another acted in such a way as to affect humankind. But these verses tell us more. These verses actually answer the age-old query about how we got into the mess we find ourselves in. You know, every generation says something like this. When I was a kid, things were different. You ever hear that before? Did you ever say that before? Yeah, of course you did. You heard your parents say it. I remember hearing my dad say that. Oh, here it goes again. When I was a kid, things were different. And then I grew up and I go, I think he was right. Because when I was a kid, things were different. And now I'm hearing my son say, you know, when I was a kid, things were different. And I'm guessing my grandson is going to say the same thing. I think every generation says it because it's true. I think that evil grows with every subsequent generation. And so we find ourselves asking, whose fault is all this? There was just another shooting we saw yesterday and the day before and last week another one. And it just seems like these things are rampant. Did you know that right now there are 40 active wars on planet Earth? 40 active conflicts. Those are on the rise. There's a rise of depression and suicide in our own country, among the very young especially. And so we scratch our heads and goes, now whose fault is this? This must be the Democrats' fault. So, oh, no, no, it's the Republicans. Or, no, it's those independents. You know, they don't even know what side they're on. Or this is a Russian conspiracy. Or this is a Chinese conspiracy. No, it's Adam's fault. Adam opened a door. Adam was given an incredible power. It's called the power of choice, volition. Everybody knows this great power. When a young man asks a young woman for her hand in marriage, ooh, that's a lot of power. So Neil and Jackie are up in the front. When you asked your wife Jackie to marry you, what'd she say? She said, yes, and I see her girls next to you, so that's a good thing. That's a very powerful choice that she made, though. What if she said no?
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. He said, oh, boy. Okay, so choice is powerful. Every parent discovers when they give their child an order, a command, a directive to be obedient, and the little boy says, no! Powerful choice. Now that child's about to experience a powerful parent's choice after that choice, but nonetheless, volition is an extremely powerful thing. Adam was given a simple directive, a simple instruction, one easy rule, one restriction. Adam, dude, you can do this. Just stay away from that tree. But you know what it's like when you see a sign that says, don't touch? You want to touch, right? Because you're going, why? Why is the sign there? And why do you want to touch it? Because it says, don't touch. So if you see a sign on a door that says, keep out, you just want to take a peek and find out why, what's so important. You see a sign that says, wet paint, you're thinking, well, maybe it's dry by now. I just want to see. So God hung up a sign for Adam, but he touched the paint. He opened the door. Look at verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world. That's where the problems all started. Through one man sin entered the world. He opened that door. And when he opened that door, a deadly virus infected humanity. Since Adam, every human being is born S-I-N positive. Through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin. Thus death spread to all men. Look at verse 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses. Do you notice the progression? Sin entered, number one. Death entered, number two. Death spread, number three. And number four, death reigned. So one man's act brought results so catastrophic, we are still to this day experiencing the repercussions. When Adam sinned, he generated a constitutional change in his character. He acted as the federal head of humanity. That's what theologians call it. The federal head of humanity, passing on his nature throughout history. If that's sort of hard for you to get your head around the federal headship, I'll give you kind of a modern analogy. In the story and the movies, The Hunger Games, head actress, who is in this, the character Katniss Everdeen, she becomes both a substitute as well as a representative. She's a substitute for her sister Prim, saves her life by taking her place, but she becomes a representative. She becomes the federal head of her district. So that if she wins those gladiatorial Hunger Games, her whole district reaps the benefits for a whole year of food and feasts. So Adam acted as the federal head of humanity. Jesus comes after and acts as the federal head for all those who believe. Now I can hear wheels turning in heads. People are saying, well, wait a minute. That's not fair. I never met Adam. I would know him from Adam. Now why am I taking the rap for what he did? Why am I being implicated for a crime he committed? I didn't eat the fruit. I don't even like fruit. Now I actually do like fruit. But why would God condemn the world because of what one person did? How could he pass that along? Well, let me answer that simply, first of all, by saying this principle works in other aspects of human propagation. We get physical characteristics from parents and grandparents. That gets passed down. Eye color, hair color, body type, height. All of that gets passed on genetically in the genetic code all the way down the line. In the same way, sin is a matter of spiritual genetics. We inherit a fallen nature. Let me give you a second explanation. By condemning the race through one man, God is able to save the race through one man. By consigning all of us under the condemnation clause, since we're all born into that state, we can all be saved by his grace by simply believing. By one man, by one man.
That's Skip Heitzig with a message from the series Heart and Soul. Now here's Skip to tell you about how you can keep encouraging messages like this coming your way as you help connect others to God's truths.
Bringing Jesus into every relationship in your life is one of the best decisions you could ever make. That's why we want to make these biblical teachings available to even more people through this broadcast. And you can help connect others with these life-changing truths when you give today. Here's how you can join in this mission to connect listeners like you to Jesus.
You can give online at connectwithskip.com/donate. That's connectwithskip.com/donate. Or call 800-922-1888. 800-922-1888. Thank you. Come back tomorrow as Skip Heitzig shares about the gracious gift Jesus offers you.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His wood. Make a connection. Connection.
Connect with Skip Heitzig is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.